Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to El Islam-Based Conversations. We're going to have a little briefer agenda today because of the holidays, and people are going to be traveling and doing this, that, and the other. And just in general, we want to kind of, just make it a briefer thing. I think the situation, holiday coming up in the and just the participation will probably be very low. If it is, we will definitely be, you know, cutting our program a little short. If it's not and picks up and there's interest and there's conversation, then we'll, you know, Allah's in charge and we'll go with the flow on that. I'd like to say also, too, before I get started, that this is a program that is built on the basis of not insulting your intelligence or wasting your time. I say it over and over again, but it's so true, and I try to make it part of the program. And like I said before, and I repeat, as people begin to come into the queue, we're going to have a little briefer program today, and because of the holiday, and just kind of pull back a little bit and sort of look at what's been said, you know, and then we can kind of tell what needs to be said. A lot of people showing interest. I won't say a lot of people, but I think if the program is right and the venue is right and the message is right, the program will grow. Because people, you're saying what people not necessarily want to hear, but what they do hear, they recognize that it's not telling them, first of all and foremost, how to think, I mean, what to think, but it's asking them, the thinking that you presently have and the one that you got, is it benefiting you? Is it helpful and beneficial in these times that we're going through? Does it offer some type of solution, some type of skills, some type of direction, orientation for you to end the cycle and step from having problems to having solutions? And thereafter, what follows that? What happens when you had problems or you're having problems and now you have solutions? Not solutions that I come up with or not solutions that I'm offering, but solutions in general because of the venue or becoming or because of the origin of the solutions. You know, people used to ask you, you're getting advice and people are trying to help you get out of the fix you're in or help you with your thinking or become a guru or whatever. Well, the question is going to come up. Consider the source. The definition of crazy. Doing something wrong and hope that it's going to come out right. Going to people who have an opinion and hope it's going to come out right. Going to people who have a title and hope it's going to come out right. And how much time and money will you invest before you realize it appeared to be a good idea, but application of it determined that it wasn't a good idea? Now, maybe it'll come back later and be a better idea when people are, I don't know, better situated, better, the consciousness has been elevated, seeing it, the challenge gets greater and greater. Then your first thought should be, maybe this is not a good idea after all. Now, if we or you or I was guilty of thinking that I had jumped into or found a get-rich-quick scheme. See? Or I'm trying to promote something hook, line, and sinker, and I'm not asking people to examine. I want blind followers. Problematic. But here's another thing that's a solution. Knowing the difference between a pyramid and direct sales. Big difference. See? And it's worth your time and your energy and your money to make a determination before you start investing. But look at yourself. Look, we have to look at ourselves first. And one of the ways that we were given our community, this community that's really the spearhead that you're getting, the spearhead that you're listening to. Well, look, we got people tonight. For the people that are coming on, I talked about have a shortened version. We'll just go with the flow because of the holidays and everything. So I'm expecting maybe people won't be available or people are showing up. So let's, you know, get into it and see where it takes us. And because it's pretty, it's rich. We're going to slowly unpack some of it. What I'm hoping to accomplish is to go back a little bit in time to come forward. And you'll see as we go back what that back a little bit means. And going forward, what that means, because it's very vague, it's very general, it's not specific. Well, we're going to get specific with us. But what we're going to say about it, we're going to lay Imam Muhammad's strategy on it to connect us to, okay, what's the much to do about going to the past and looking at it? It's history. It's over. How is that going to benefit me now? Well, when you overlay what I'm going to say on top of it, you'll see how it will benefit us now. And you'll see how it's not just limited to Muslims, African-Americans, Americans, any of that. It's not tailored to do that. It's broad enough. It's big picture enough. It's human enough. It's universal principles enough to be able to take you on the journey, not lose you, and not cause confusion for you, because it the connections are there. I didn't make them up. They're there because they're there. And it's easy to follow once we lay the format, once we understand that we're talking about a strategy. And the strategy is in a three-prong format: language, logic, sensitivity. The language that you're speaking is going to determine the logic. The logic, once you begin to use it, is going to develop your sensitivity or your consciousness or your awareness or the spirit that you have now that you're talking and understanding this language and able to apply the logic that it's providing for you. I think it's pretty simple. I think that's pretty easy to flow. But we got people on here, intelligent people, who, if they find themselves getting lost in this whole journey, then they'll push one on the phone and they'll come up. They ask a question, or they'll make an observation, or they'll provide their input. And that's what we want. But know for sure now, this is not some kind of game we're playing, you know, and then at the end of the day, you call in and you say something. No, this is not. This is a sincere effort to take something that's very current, very powerful, unpack it a little bit, but go backwards a little bit, not a little bit really, to the 60s and 70s and look at something that got us where we are, was very popular at that particular time. It's not popular now. But when you hear some of the phrases and the verbiage, you say, oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay, so when it came about, what brought it about, and where did it go? And does it qualify that it was language that had a logic, and that caused us to have a sensitivity? And it didn't just stop with the, you know, where it started. It continued to grow, and it disappeared, and it evolved into something else. Okay, so let's look at this possibility that we're talking about, And just remember the blueprint or the formula, language, logic, sensitivity. Okay, so I kind of went back and did a little homework, and you're going to, like I said before, recognize some words, some phrases that were saying. And one of the phrases that you're going to recognize is that this was a familiar refrain, that a lot of the verbiage started with these words, once upon a time. So once upon a time, you can remember when people used to start a lot of what they had to say, once upon a time. If they didn't start it with once upon a time, you could tell by what was being said, it was an occurrence story. And you can also tell that it has a life lesson or a moral lesson in it. And so here are some of the examples that my research afforded me. And one of the ones that was very popular in its day, and still probably popular, because when I look back at its roots, it's 1800, when it really, whatever. But anyway, you hear it today, but you don't hear it as much. And you have to go to certain circles to hear it and see the application that they're using in these modern times. But Aesop's Fables, that fairy tales, you know, all had moral lessons to learn. And they offered that these words were either words of wisdom or words to make you wise. And if you were in that era, and if you remember that in your application and what you learned from Aesop's Fables, one of those tales I remember was Jack and the Beanstalk. Now, I'm not going into necessarily unpacking Jack and the Beanstalk, but it benefited many, many people for the era when it came out. It introduced itself, I don't know how, but it when it got popular, but people who were seeing the message began to realize, okay, how can I be this Jack and the Beanstalk? How can I increase my productivity and my ability to grow something from a certain level to that? Another one was the golden goose that lays golden eggs. And how, if you're able to feed the goose that lays the golden eggs, you'll get what? Golden eggs. But what's the process that you have to do to get the golden eggs? Find the goose and then feed the goose and don't let anything happen to the goose. And guess what happens? Golden eggs. But what's the first thing we got to do with that? We got to look at this language and see if it's literal or technical, physical or metaphysical. Therefore, we can identify or address any problems that come up because we heard the fable, heard the tale, but we didn't make the transitions. This is not talking about a golden goose, a goose that lays golden eggs. In truth, it's talking about a process that once you are educated about, you can increase your wealth. And you have terms that help you understand what this wealth is, how you're going to go about it, and what's going to be the end result. You're going to have the ability to now direct sales scenario, pyramid scenario. You're going to take your money and invest in the money to get better situated with this language that's going to eventually provide you with a goose that will lay golden eggs. So it's the same thing. You go back. Now, we went back. Let's go forward. Language, logic, and sensitivity. If we had a language, let's just say the Nation of Islam gave us, or if it's someone that's out there that's not familiar with the Nation of Islam, the society gave us. This was school level teaching, you know, it was in part of the education that was given to us when we went to school. And you, Nan, had someone standing before you, teacher or somebody, maybe even in the streets, because we're going to talk about one of the ones that just came up for certain people, you know. And it benefited them, maybe not so much. But the people who were invested in the educational system saw a need to put this information out there. And I'm sure some of it's still available, like I said, but not like I was when I was coming. When I was coming up, and some of you were coming up, and another one that was popular was the person that was crying about Wolf, the person, the boy who cried Wolf, but it was just a joke. He was just, but in the end, it ended up being a very serious situation. So, what was the lesson? You see, And one of the reasons it had a lesson in it, so that's why I became so popular. That's why it still registers in my mind, in my subconscious. So you take that same scenario and you look at language and logic and sensitivity. And when you have language, logic, and sensitivity, you have the ability to not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Because of the time that you're looking at and the information that you're looking at, and say, well, was there any benefit there? And if you're looking carefully, if you're unpacking slowly, you'll say, yes, it did benefit. One of the ones that stays in my mind, I'm talking about the Nation of Islam, for y'all sort of coming in maybe a little bit late, we're talking about the Nation of Islam as a backdrop to help us apply some of the benefits that will come from language, logic, and sensitivity. And we're going back, little history lesson, we're going back to some things that were in place that fit the three-pronged language, logic, and sensitivity. It was their version then, but this version now, current, 2023. Now, can some of the other stuff be used? Yeah. And we're using it now to explain how and what role language plays. And once you get the language, the logic that you use as a result of it, and then the sensitivity that you get from having used it, because it's definitely going to influence your attitude, even your spirit. You look at what happened with that Jack and the Beanstalk. What did it do? It made you start thinking, hey, what happened when you had a goose you thought that could lay golden eggs? What happened when you thought that there was a rainbow at the end of the, a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? So when it rained and then the rainbow came, where did you go? Looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But then when you look back and you use language, logic, and sensitivity, you say, hey, it wasn't physical, wasn't so literal. That was why I never found it. Or we never found it, you see? So, but once we said, like before, once you start to get results and you realize that you might have been getting, or we might have been getting in the way of our own self, thus causing a problem. Or maybe we wanting things quick, fast, and in a hurry. Maybe we had Volkswagen money and Cadillac appetite. Possibility. Powerful country like America, rich, one of the richest countries in the world, then and still now. Everybody walking around with money, big money, pulling out their wad. You don't have anything with paper on it but maybe a note or a grocery list. So what happens? You want money too. And what can happen if we're not careful? You become available, price is right. We can be guilty, as we mentioned last week, you can sell your soul and you can manifest to those who are seeking to enslave you that if the money is right, you got slave me, you got me. I'm on board. I'm down with this. And you give away your soul and definitely tarnish your dignity. We can do that. We're doing it right now. Going to the highest bidder. Don't that sound like something else before? Would somebody call our forefathers on the stand, being examined, and then being sold to the highest bidder, losing their dignity, losing their pride, losing everything to this system that has no intention of uplifting them? And then you can see, when you look back with this language, logic, and sensitivity that introduced itself with a freedom, justice, and equality statement. You're not getting it. There's a reason you're not getting it. There's some changes you're going to have to make to get it. And the application that you're going to keep making, when you see it again, you're going to see that it appears to be Western thought, but it has a broader history, and it has a richer history, and it came from another location over here, and it got applied like it might have been a Western thought, but it has universal dimensions to it, and it still transcends time and geography. Because the dignity that you will get, or we will get when you get freedom, justice, and equality, first of all, it's invaluable. And secondly, if you haven't had it and now you are benefiting and getting it, what has happened to you as an individual? What has happened to the individual who didn't have it? Now they have it. I got you 8, 3, and 4. So now that you have it, the value it has gives us value. Now that we got it in our possession, which means what? Can't be taken. We can't take it for granted, and people can't take it from us because it's in our possession. And once we understand it's a part of the inheritance for the human being, we protect it like we did with the goose with the slave, the golden egg, because that's what's happened. You now, as a result of the prayers and whatever has come along, or as a result of information coming out from sources that didn't have it before, you now have access to apply it and get the benefit and know the value of the story about the goose who lays golden eggs. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to go to 314. Just a minute. This here. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your radio listening audience there at IWDM Radio. Mark Shaheen from the STL, that's the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah for those who don't know. That simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, and Allah is the God. That we say is the creator of all that we see and all that we don't see. So it's only one God that is creator, and everything else is creation. Just wanted to say that in case we have some listeners that are not Muslim, just to give some definition to something that they may not hear all the time. It's an interesting conversation, and just listening to the framework in terms of logic, I mean, language, logic, and sensitivity, this is some excellent framework to put things in my opinion, a perspective that you really can really gain something from it. And, you know, Imam Pasha, I don't know all the time that many of us actually have absorbed in our mind that we actually live in a language environment, you know, a language environment. And as you were relating, I could relate to Aesop's fables, because I used to read them to my children. You know, at times even when I was in the Nation of Islam, before they would go to bed. And when they grew older, we used to have conversations about them, and oftentimes I would kind of quiz them to see what did they get from that story. Now, we know those were metaphoric type stories. They, you know, animals didn't really talk, and forces in nature didn't have conversations and all of that. But I think the big takeaway was the lesson, and usually it was a moral lesson. And I could see at that time the benefit, and I still see the benefit in it, because even when we talk about Al-Quran, the Quran being the final revelation or the conclusion of revelation to humanity, Almighty God, Allah, He uses metaphoric and allegorical language, as God says in the Quran, that He actually uses every similitude to reach us, to teach us. And I think that's so important that God is saying that He uses it too. But, that, you know, that's not where we actually start with. You know, it becomes the basic and the fundamental ayahs or instructing signs that we receive the message from. And actually when we learn, it becomes basic and fundamental, and then the metaphoric language, it becomes easy to read in that regard. You know, that language environment that we were in, whether it's figurative, but it actually had a powerful message to really give to us in looking like at Esau's fables. Because I think that when you learn a lesson, you know, the logic is it helps us to have the sensitivity that we should actually have as human beings. But oftentimes, you know, I think about those persons who are not aware of the language and the purpose of language and what is it actually saying to us. Sometimes we can misread and be misled in terms of the logic. And if there is, in fact, logic, you know, sometimes you read and there's no logic is there, so it becomes illogical. And then the sensitivity that is to be derived from that, we become desensitized, you know, whereas that there's no conscious sensitivity. That's the word I want to use, conscious sensitivity that's there that actually would be a benefit to us. So I think that one of the things to take away is, what is the lesson? You know, as a wordologist, I use the word lesson. And the word lesson is two words. It's less on. It's really less on you when you learn the lesson. And it being a moral lesson that helps in the growth and development of the moral human being. And, you know, Pasha, as I look at today's world as it is, you know, you look for the morality that would actually show that there's a conscious sensitivity from one human being to another human being. And oftentimes, you know, when we look, we don't see that. We don't see that moral consciousness. And you can't have a sensitivity if there is not a moral consciousness, if in fact that we are not learning and giving moral lessons to actually learn that will produce the sensitivity, but a conscious sensitivity. You know, sensitivity can be more inclined for some people, the sensitivity that they have in regards to themselves, but they don't have that same sensitivity when it comes to other people. Not even sometimes family member. You know.
That's true. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I stopped there. You know, I could say more, but I'll stop there. Just wanted to offer that 2 cent worth in the conversation. Thank you so much, and continue to listen. I think it's an excellent topic here. You know, language, logic, and sensitivity. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And thank you again very much for, I'm sure, I benefited. I know I'm sure the people on the line have benefited. Like I said before, there's a little bit of risk when you introduce something else to introduce something else. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to take a little trip backwards and realize that we probably were miseducated. A lot of what that was going, because we didn't know how to apply it. It was just a feel-good kind of a thing that we had, and they knew with it, the people who were perpetrating, you know, and we're finally getting some information about they, who they are. You know, they're the behind-the-scenes leaders who know better. But yet and still, they put things out there that they know is not going to benefit the individual who's getting it, because you got to have what goes with it to make the connection. So they can sit back and relax in their ivory tower and be able to say to themselves, this is what, look what I just created. Blind followers. You know? And they don't know that I taught them in a way that everything that they know, I gave them, but everything that I know, I didn't give them. So what does that mean? There's always going to be a gap. There's always going to be some distance between the people who know and the people who don't know, the people who have and the people who do not have. It's never going to live. It's a vicious cycle that's going to continue until we get the lens that we need to see the world and what's intended and what's not intended. And what's not intended is for anybody to oppress or enslave another group strictly for their benefit, and keep the other people that they're benefiting from in this predicament forever. If they had their way, and if there was not a creator that only wants good and only promotes good and will send people to liberate those who are enslaved, if they will simply acknowledge that they're enslaved. Not just, this is hard times, this is Mission Impossible. No, this is intentional people with wisdom, taking that wisdom and using it against the people. And scripture asked the question. We talked about last week with the power of a good question. Can a man rob God? He said, yes. But can a man rob God? No. The robbery takes place, but the consequences of a robbery also take place. We have no right as a human being to oppress and subject our fellow human being to any form of slavery. It's not acceptable. It's not fair. It's not just. It's not the equality that was intended or that is intended. And it requires evolution, but it also requires revolution. But before we decide that we need to revolt, we need to get an education. We need to know that the pen is powerful and more powerful than the sword. We need to know that these terms that we hear in Arabic, jihad, that is not talking about what's going over there in Israel with the Israelis and the Palestinians. That's not what it's talking about. If you have to come to war and you have to kill innocent people and you have to get other countries involved and you have to change the world or charge the world with not supporting you because you have the full support of God. The last time I looked, if you had a full support of God, you may have to go to war to protect the interests that you haven't gotten from God. But when you hear the premise for both sides of what's going on, you realize somebody needs to get their act together and the placement and use language that's more truthful, then it had a history, but it's no longer pertinent. It's no longer relevant. It's no longer current. And then other people maybe have an they may have a translation to think that God is talking about a physical war. Yeah, he is when it's needed. But God is talking about the war we have to have between ourselves to get to the bigness that he wants us to have. Taking those three steps in our nafs till we get in our soul, in our inner being, till we get to the level to see what the mountaintop view was or is versus the valley. Poor thinking produces poor people. Traumatized people produce traumatized people. And we mentioned last week, the blind cannot lead the blind. This is not a... what's the word I'm looking for? This is not punishment. Consequences that result when you don't know, when we don't know what we don't know, so therefore we don't know what we need to know. And when we do wake up and realize maybe that we don't know, we don't consider the source that we're turning to, and maybe they don't know either. So you got two people who don't know that they don't know, but they're acting like they what? Do know. And that little scenario there that you can follow, you can see that. You can see people out there that are acting that way. You can see people right now. I just mentioned them. There would be no war going on, missiles fired in the middle of the night on anybody's part. And then they say, well, they fired at me. I got to fire back. They retaliate. I got to show them who the boss is when I need help. And you know, that conversation wouldn't be had. And it still could be checked if people who do know met with the people who don't seem to know. And let's get to the peace table, and then we can talk about what we need to do moving forward. Let's get our intellect involved and not bring me here to pick sides with a very loose form of logic to get me to say, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I'm on the side of right. I'm on the side of peace. I'm on the side of not subjecting lateral death and because the person happened to be living over there. Now they got to negotiate the hostages out before they can start talking about the war. That's not good logic. See? It shouldn't be death and people disrupted in their homes before we decide that we need to talk. And we shouldn't be taking sides with the people who are disrupting and think we're going to get solution. Not happening. And we got proof in scripture. God tells us, we're never going to change any people until they change certain things about them, what they're doing. And if you're declaring war on people, and you're saying jihad is a holy war, you got God involved, God obligated, he's obligated himself. And if you're lying about God and lying on God, God's obligated. Fill the lie with the truth to take the people out of the darkness that the lie caused into the light of truth. And what we have to have at that particular time when we need it, when circumstances are like that, there's a lot of confusion in the air. A lot of emotional things going on and a lot of people speaking up and speaking out. But as Brother Mark was saying, do they have proper perspective? Are they immediately involved because it does push you and pull you a certain way immediately? It tends to make you want to take a side. It tends to make you be able to relate to what's going on because it was a part of maybe in your history. It's easy to become a sympathizer to those who are getting, you know, bombarded with bombs and bullets and stuff. And they did nothing to justify that. But once again, if we don't have the right information, we don't have the right perspective, if we're not clear on the language that should be used to get us where we're trying to go, then we won't have the right logic. And when we get speaking our voice and giving our opinion, we won't have the right sensitivity either. We're not speaking broad enough and saying that this war is a threat to humanity. Because one set of humans is attacking another set of humans and they're justifying it. The other set of humans are sitting around watching it, support, apparently with their hands tied, or they're being selective. They're saying, well, we'll go to this one, but we're not going to go over here and help these. We got money and bombs and airplanes and soldiers to help these people, but we're not going to go over here and do this one. What has happened to that? Where did that thinking come from? Not only is that thinking not good thinking, but they're asking other people to join you in that thinking. Be supportive of you in that thinking. Soliciting them so they can be a part of you in that thinking. And that's why I say such a good tool that defies time and geography and gets into the area of being universal, language, logic, sensitivity. It's not a joke. It is taking something that's very complex, simplifying it without losing the complexity of it, and then offering it as an alternative to the present thinking, to the present approach. And then asking you, isn't this more like the results that you really want to get? Where you come away with not only peace between the people who are doing it, peace of mind about that when it's going, that it's not going to happen again. And the minute that someone begins to stir up, we turn against them for being the source of the warlike approach. All the collateral damage that you're causing because people who weren't involved, sleeping in their bed, and they wake up to a war that they had nothing to do with. It just happened to be the same race of the people who started the war. But they themselves wouldn't be out there in their pajamas or in any case of trying to start a war. It's not necessary. It doesn't resolve the issues. And yes, the issues have been long. And yes, the hardship has been long. And yes, the suffering has been long. Yes, we do serve a creator that offers solutions and heals our sin-sick soul and keeps us from becoming bitter, but actually becoming better by turning to him and get him as the source of our knowledge. Get leaders who have come before prophets, messengers with their attempt to get us to get on the straight path and looking at them again and listening to what they had to say about similar circumstances. Less science of man and more science of the creator. That's what I see as being needed. And I think that if people were invited to look at it, to unpack it and to apply it, I think they would agree. And I think even if they didn't agree, we could come to the conclusion that we got more in common than we have differences. And it's okay. We can agree to disagree and still work together. See? And you look at the subject matter that we were using, you see how it, not like I said before, it's not current, but it's still applicable. You know? It's still, and in fact, it's made it to the Library of Congress. What does that mean? That means if you're doing research, you can go in there and get it. And like some of the stories, they changed their meanings, changed their message. One of them was the three little bears. You know, somebody's been sleeping in my bed. Somebody was sleeping in my bed. So at first it wasn't Goldilocks wasn't in the picture. Goldilocks came in the picture with time later. And it had to do more with these bachelors coming home and somebody had been disrupted while they were gone. And then when they discovered it, the person fled to never be seen again. But if you see the scenario with the added Goldilocks instead of just an individual, it's a three versions of that same story. And it changed when time changed. Later it changed to a family came home and found that people had been disruptive in their house. See the difference? It finally began to address the real concern in a real way. It's a good story. It's starting out real good. Somebody's messing around while you're not there. And that somebody is really a story. It's really a narrative. It's really these people are symbols or something else. But the best benefit we can get is rather than some bachelor or some single young lady and the other one that they had, let's talk about a family. Let's talk about the needs of a family. Let's talk about the things that disrupt the family process. Can you see how they've now evolved that story to where it's now universal? It's now applicable to situations that it wasn't applicable anymore, wasn't broad enough, wasn't deep enough, wasn't wide enough, wasn't universal enough, wasn't human enough. And that's what we need to be thinking about now. What we have to say, what will best help the situation, has to be broad enough to where people won't say to you, yeah, Muslims always thinking about Muslims. Yeah, Jewish people always thinking about Jewish people. Christian people always worried about Christian people. How did we get so divided and still remain divided? Because when the subject comes up and you make that statement, people start hollering about Islamophobia. And why do they do that? Because some of it's true. Some of us are guilty. Some of us are sympathizing with the situation. And they're sending money, see, to support they need to take sides with. But once again, we ask the question, is this healthy, wholesome thinking? Or is this getting caught up in the situation emotionally and becoming a blind follower? Because the minute you hear the label Muslim, you assume that these are righteous Muslims. These are rightly guided Muslims. Or if you don't assume that, then you need to look at that. What justification do we have other than a misrepresentation or a mistranslation of jihad? How many of us can look at that and realize that we came to the problem and found out that we were the problem? Our thinking to a very broad and sensitive situation that God in his bigness says, these are human beings with human problems, and they have human solutions. So let us go forward with things that we think will be solutions and not taking sides prematurely. And that applies to both sides. We should be talking to our political leaders and our government leaders and asking them these good questions about their involvement. And not sounding threatening and we're going to coup d'etat and we're going to do a jihad. No. We're going to offer what we have to offer and say that it worked then, it should work now. But what's needed is not so much the bombs and the bullets as we need to lay down our arms and open up our arms with a little truth. With a little belief that if we involve God, then we get a different results. Someone in the crowd, someone will hear the call and express the solution. But one thing that can happen, a peace spirit, lay down arms and over no shooting. Whoever breaks it, then they're the problem. We don't want to hear why you broke it. We're in a peaceful state, we're communicating with one another, we want to solve this problem. You know, we're getting ready to go on a holiday, celebrate Thanksgiving and family time and away from work, and we got to deal with a war because of undeveloped people and people lying about their position in the world, and then people then just resorting to out-and-out straight-up bullets and ammunition and firepower and tanks and stuff. Yet claiming to be a civilized world, you know, Where is AI when we need it? And it's not meant to be a joke. That's not to be a criticism of AI. As much as we're caught up in that and what it's doing and can it solve this problem? Is there a logarithm that it can produce that will tell us how to solve the problem? Now, we can utilize it, Zoom and all that, and get people at the table, get people looking at each other, even though they ain't in the same room, get people talking to one another. We can do that. We should do that. And when we should do that, and the thing that will allow us to know that we should do that is we have to have a proper perspective. We can't just say anything and do anything. We can't just promote an idea, advocate a something when we're not really clear. We don't have a real clear picture on the history. We don't have a real clear picture on the solution because we haven't really identified totally what the problem is. And the more we begin to do that, the easier and the better it's going to be. Because you won't feel like you just jumped up and jumped on somebody's side and you're a blind follower. And the only allegiance you have to that is that they are calling themselves, they're wearing the same label that you wear. Or they've been an ally, you know. We've been an ally to these people and they've been an ally to us. So let me do two things. Acknowledge that I think that we can come up a little shorter today than we have in the past. This is a big subject, and it has a lot of different venues to look at. But I think the general idea has been shared. I think that we hopefully realize it is a solution. It is a strategy. It is a blueprint. It is giving those who use it the ability to look through a different lens and see the world the way it's supposed to be, and see how intentional things are. And when we don't use them in the way they were intended, that's really when we have problems. We do things that we shouldn't do. And we can rightly identify that it's because we don't know. 773, come. We don't know. And we're following people who don't know. At the risk, not the risk, but at the advice of, that you can't be led by the blind. And when people who are blind are trying to lead you, you're going to get misled without even recognizing. Because of the last thing in my conclusion with this, we have to know if we are the problem or the solution. We have to know what we're getting ready to do is a part of the problem or part of the solution. It's a simple statement, but it takes a lot of courage to do it. And once you do it, you'll always have the courage to continue to do it. So 773, you join us, state your name and where you're calling from. Oh, just state your name. We know where you're calling from. So alhamdulillah.
I sound like I'm from Samira. My subject is so imperative, you know, because it opens up paradigms to engage beyond the surface of conversations and put the, as you say, the logic, sensitivities and the aspects that you mentioned and those last statements that you spoke about. You know, it's like I always say, we don't know, but we don't know if we did or make a difference. So I can really appreciate this conversation this evening because it kind of opens up something for me, my engagement into things I inquire about that I may not always have a better understanding, but if I put that formula to it that you just gave us tonight, I can have a better understanding. So thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you very much.
Okay. Well.
You know, in concluding for tonight, really, I mean, I think it's, I think we really open up and hopefully whet our appetite to really realize what's really in our possession. Really, I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, so I'm not claiming any kind of wisdom and whatever. I mean, I know that I've worked on these little skills and I'm fairly sufficient, but there's plenty of people out there that can do what I'm doing. They just got to decide they want to do it, and they have to have enough courage to do it. Because once you start to do it, your critics are going to show up. Or how you know? Who put you? Well, nobody does that. But what does happen when you take a moral stand and you begin to see your intellect arising and rising to the occasion and helping you to understand what the problem really is. And when you get an opportunity to state the problem and state the suggestion, you do it. With the understanding that people are not going to readily accept it. They're not going to. You haven't been qualified enough. You need to do, you know, scripture qualified. What has he said? Let me see if I can get it. Substance without reference to credentials. I think that's what Imam Islam was saying. Something can be saying substantively without credentials. I don't need to have to go to your educational system, and I'm getting an education elsewhere, and I'm getting education that teaches me that this is shows me this is a legitimate alternative. And it gives me the courage to face those world leaders and ask them the question, do you want peace or do you want to continue to be a dominant force in the world and you want others to submit to your dominance? World dominance has gotten so many civilizations, so many countries in trouble. We're qualified to lead the rest of the world. The light doesn't, what do they think they said? The sun doesn't set in any of our empires. Well, that's not a good thing. Because some of those people that you over there that you're talking about, some of those situations that you brought about was due to miseducation on their part. And then when they didn't submit to the education that you're trying to give them, you brought out your tanks and your bullets and your guns and you physically made them subdue. And that particular strategy goes back in history. You know, if you study Egyptology, you'll see that was a strategy. First we talk, and then we use other means. Very mind-blowing things where they get into your head by going about and getting into the spirit. Nothing gets in there without the spirit. You're on guard. You're cautious. You're conscious and you're conscientious. Your intuition's telling you that ain't right. No. And what do you want? What's your agenda? You know, what am I doing so great? 773, if you got a question or comment, just stay in the queue. If not, come out of the queue. But you know, that's the thing. Thank you. That's the thing that is so important now, that this is the second thing, that we know how to engage in conversations and ask good questions and not there to show off what we know. We're there to know what we don't know, as the sister mentioned, and get educated by those who supposedly know, but we have to take that and follow it to its logical conclusion. You said that, but you did this. What you said and what you did don't match up. Because what? Actions speak louder than words. When the crowd is there and when the question is asked, ego makes you say one thing, but when the crowd is not there, when you're behind closed doors, you say and do things that you didn't say in the public. Therefore, you qualify to be a hypocrite. That's a hypocritical move, and it has to be called what it is. You're telling us one thing in the public, and you're doing another thing in the private. And that applies to whoever's doing it. It doesn't matter. It's not true because I say it's true. It's not an example because I bring it up. It's an example because that's what people are doing. And here's the last thing I want to say before I get Brother Mark involved, hopefully. The reason that we can do that is when we sit back and tell people that we just did something. It's legal, but it's not moral. How can you say you believe in a God, you support that God, you worship that God, you obey that God, and make a statement like that to go along with it, and then people are going along with it? Without saying, I can't live with my belief system and the label that I'm wearing with that kind of language going around here by the leadership. And I don't have any fear in me of saying that. It's not trying to start a coup d'etat and an overthrowing of the government, but it is starting to bring about an evolution. And really, because it's really deep, and after we unpack it, it is sort of a revolution, too. But revolution doesn't always mean war. It means revolving, solving certain situations that weren't solved before, or that were thought that were unsolvable. I think we've offered enough tonight. I offer to hopefully fulfill my promise of not insulting your intelligence and not wasting your time. And I'd like to call on my brother to give us a little preview of what's coming on after my programs and talk a little bit about these programs that got me so excited and ready to do it all over again and say it all over again and look for different venues to say it in, because that's when it's really heard. Let's see if we want to get heard from you. I'm going to start with 773 and then I'll go to 314, Brother Mark, if you don't mind.
I just want to say, man, Pasha, please let your audience know that they can review your show on IWDM,
okay,
because I've been studying it and more. They can listen to it as much as they want to and really grasp everything that you're saying. It is so important that they, you know, have this information, because I've shared it with many people and also the link. So I think they would love that. Thank you.
Okay, so we go to Brother Mark. He probably would know a little bit more than I'm doing about that, but point is that if it's available, we definitely want to know about it and we want to definitely do it, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, you know, and when that time comes and we're not here, we need to leave something for those who are here. And I hope that we are heard and hope we're working like we got 1,000 years, but we got 1 year, you know. We don't know when that call is going to be made. So let's get Brother Mark and let's get the ball rolling to where we're trying to go.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum again to you, Imam Nazim Pasha, and the radio listening audience. A very, very, very good presentation tonight. You know, one of the last statements that you made in terms of morality and policy, this is absent. We don't see that in the world today. I'm not talking about only in America, but across the world. And until we get morality in policy making, then we're going to continuously make the same mistakes. They're going to be unneeded and unnecessary war. It's the word war. War ain't right. You know, it's not right. And when we realize it's intelligent guidance and healthy thinking is what it is that we want. And so the language obviously has to be the language of the final revelation that God has left to all of humanity. It's just not Muslims. It's the Quran. That is the solution for all the pollution that we see in the world today, whether it's locally, whether it's state, nationally, or internationally. That is the language. That's the language that will give us the right logic in terms of how it is that we should be thinking. It will give us the right conscious sensitivity. It won't give us selfish sensitivity that oftentimes we see on display. I want to share also one of my favorite Esau's fables. I think this may go along with the excellent presentation that you made tonight, Pasha, is, I don't know if you remember the one between the wind and the sun. Well, as the narrative goes, it was the wind that was kind of boasting how powerful it was out of all the forces in creation, and decided to challenge the sun in terms of how powerful it was. The sun really didn't want to have any part of it, wasn't trying to show off, but the wind was trying to show off its power. So then finally the sun accepted the challenge from the wind. And so the sun told the wind, you go first. And so as the story goes, there was a man that was walking down the road. They had on a cloak, they call it cloak, C Cloak, Soap Cloak. And the challenge was to see which one could make the man take off his cloak first. So the wind started to blowing. And as the wind blew stronger, the more the man held on to his coat, and then kept on blowing as hard as he could blow, man buttoned up his coat. So after sufficient time for the wind to try to showcase how powerful he was, and then the sun said, now it's my turn. So the sun began to shine, and then it shined a little bit more. And as it shined more, the man began to unbutton his coat. And as the sun reached its apex, finally the man took his coat off. So what's the moral of the story? Simple. The moral of the story, or the moral lesson learned, is that influence is better than force. Influence. You see, one of the things with words is words will influence you one way or the other. And there's always a duality when you get language, because it is words, you understand, that make people. And there's always a duality. The reality that there's a duality, whether it can influence you in terms of right or whether it can influence you in terms of wrong. But this was one of my favorite in Aesop's fables, because it becomes obvious that persuasion is better than force. So what if we are to learn to bring that from behind to forward, to today forward? We are not the force people. Yeah. This religion, Al-Islam, definitely is not a religion of force or compelling.
Absolutely.
It's done on the free will. Nobody can force anybody to take the Shahada chain to become a Muslim. I'm just saying this for our radio listening audience. Nobody can force you to pray. Nobody can force you to pay zakat. Nobody can force you to fast. Nobody can force you to make hajj. Nobody can force you to do any of those things. It has to be done on the free will, because the Creator has given all human beings the freedom to think and the free will to also act and to make decisions. So we want to utilize the language of the Quran and let that be the influence, influence in our life. I'll stop there because there's a lot more, but this is an excellent introduction, and I'm quite sure you'll continue to expand upon this. We want the radio listening audience to know that here on IWDM Radio, the beat goes on 7 days a week, as tomorrow it would be Tuesday, and that means the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam and his returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. The Science of the Health of You Learning Lab. This is a learning lab. You have to bring pen and pad, a lot of great information, terminology, scientific terminology, that you may have a lot of homework to actually look up some of these terms, but good explanation and clarification is given in the learning lab. It happens each and every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Wednesday, it is time for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed and Rashid Salam, each and every Wednesday on parenting. What is that? Is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective. That's what we teach in the learning lab. And how to reconstruct the destructive family life. I want to just say, to make note, that I won't be present this Wednesday, but we will still have a learning lab this Wednesday as I will be traveling for the holiday. And so the very, very competent Rashid Salam will be sitting in for me, along with Dr. Patricia Slow-Dean, and they will have continued with self-search. That's what the topic is on. So look forward to that. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the MGM Roundtable, which I will not be present for this Wednesday, holiday time, the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam will also be sitting in, and it's going to be an open line. He's going to have an outstanding topic, and you all are going to be the invited guests in terms of Thanksgiving. What is it that we're thankful for? This is a good time to count your blessings and all. I think you're going to find it's going to be an excellent production, and he's going to be coming from Surah Al-Rahman, so you can begin to read up on that. And I'm going to give him an outstanding, I think, acronym that I use, and he's going to be giving that. So please tune in. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That is the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, this Wednesday with sit-in guest host Rashid Salam. So Thursday, it is always the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which is a sister learning lab to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that generally airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. However, it has become a tradition for Mark Shaheed. I don't broadcast on Thanksgiving Day. You know, for almost all of my broadcasting career on Blog Talk Radio, I think and feel that that's a time for family and friends to get together and then just share that time together. So there will not be a broadcast this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, on IWDM Radio. Inshallah, God willing, the Courtship and Marriage will return the following Thursday, which will be November the 30th on IWDM Radio. Friday, Salatu Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. And for those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, there's no way you can actually cancel Salatu Juma because it is the command of Almighty God, Allah. And for those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Saturday, our latest production, the Muslim Book Club. That's right. It's the Muslim Book Club. Outstanding production is a two-volume book of our Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the Mother of Our Nation, is the title of that book. It's an outstanding publication. Once you pick it up and begin to read it, you won't be able to put it down. I know some of you saying, Mark Shaheed, you can't read. Yeah, you're right. I can't literally read, but I can read. I like you all. And I'm telling you, it's a book that you don't want to put down. On this production, there's a certain amount of time that's given to the reading in the publication. And then after that, there's commentary and insight that those who tune in to that production actually will be sharing with each other. And so you don't want to miss that. That's each and every Saturday. Now, it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, is high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, each and every Saturday here, the Muslim Book Club. So let's get the word out and help this new production. The attendance is consistently growing. So you should want to learn something about, this is our story, our honorable first lady and mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad. And Sunday, the longest running production here on IWDM Radio, that is Words Make People. Sounds familiar? Words Make People. Yeah, well, you can get that each and every Sunday here on IWDM Radio. Once again, with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. Each and every Sunday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, is high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words Make People. And we just heard it live tonight, the beginning of the week, with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. And he hosts this outstanding production, ABC, that stands for Al-Islam Based Conversation. Yes, so this is a production that you actually want to participate in. You're invited to participate because you want to make it a conversation. And, of course, it's Al-Islam Based Conversation. Can you have better conversation than something that's based in Al-Islam? So, please, let's get the word out to family members, to friends, colleagues, our neighbors, community members, to tune in each and every Monday, beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern, it's 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, each and every Monday, with Imam Nazim Pasha on Al-Islam-based conversation. We also want you to know that we do here on IWDM Radio, we support the Muslim Journal, which has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many, many years. We ask that you keep up your, I said subscription, but it is a subscription, but and it is a prescription also, too. And those who have the wherewithal, if you can't afford to give us a gift to maybe a member of your family, friends that you have, colleagues that you have, or a neighbor, a good neighbor, or maybe a pioneer in the community, or maybe a local library where many can read the Muslim Journal, please do so. And we also want you to know that IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful to be held in Newark, New Jersey. That's the new home of the Muslim Journal. So please get registered. As you know, there's a capacity for everything. You don't want to be on the outside looking in, and you don't want to be wondering if there's still going to be room for you. Go ahead and get registered, and I'm looking to see you there. I'm looking to be a part of a panel discussion workshop, and also my adopted daughter will be graduating there, so you know I'm going to be very, very proud to see her graduate. And there's so many other things that's going to be happening, so you don't want to miss it. You don't want to get it secondhand. As Muhammad Ali, be there. You want to be there. So with that being said, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. Back to you, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark. A quick question now. That what your wife was talking about, the availability, I guess it's like in archives or something. Are you familiar with that, or do I need to check with Brother Sahir?
Well, all you have to do is just type in on your computer, IWDM Radio, and you would actually, it will come up in terms of the archives there. You actually will see it, and what you want, all you need to know is the name of the program, just like your program here. It's on the Al-Islam-based conversation. You would need to know the actual date. I think the day is the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Yeah, so the day is the 20th of November, and all. Just follow the prompts. It will actually take you to a live broadcast. I mean, not a live, but I mean, you'll be able to get it. Yes. So you'll be able to get that, you know. So just type in IWDM Radio, you know, and just follow the prompts. It'll lead you to that. But you need to know the name of the production, and you have to know the date of it. And so that would be Monday, November the 20th, and everything. And they can go back, just listen to it. And then, you know, I would just say to all those that interested in this production and any of the productions here on IWDM Radio, get the word out to family members, to your friends, colleagues. You know, it don't really take much of an effort, you know, just everyday life, people that you run into, that you know, you know, and particularly this production, you see. I think all of the productions, really, because they provide so much information, education, you don't have to be a Muslim to actually ingest and digest this, take it in, and actually understand it, and then put it into practical application. So, you know, each one, reach one. That means that, ask yourself, how many people in just the course of a day do you come into contact with? You know, see, so, and if each one can reach maybe, say, anywhere from 7 to 10 people, and if you get half of those people that say, well, I want to tune in, I want to listen, and you say it with confidence, I guarantee you, you're going to benefit. You're going to learn something from that. And all it takes is maybe one time to listen to these productions on IWDM Radio, and that person get hooked. Because generally speaking, until we actually get PSAs, I guess I've been a designated public affairs for IWDM Radio. I don't mind doing it. But the promotion for all of these, we trying to promote all of these productions. But you can, on Blog Talk Radio, just a little bit more information, everything is archived. So all you got to do is just put in the radio station and everything, know the name of the of the program, and then know the date, pretty much.
Right.
And just follow the prompts. It'll pretty much lead you right to it, and then you'll be able to hear it all. You'll be able to assess it and hear it all over again. Thank you so much, my brother and friend. May God's peace be with you. And for all of those out there, if I don't get an opportunity to speak again, which probably Tuesday, I'll probably be on again. I want to bid all of you a happy Thanksgiving. You say, oh, do Muslims, do y'all celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, it's like what Imam Pasha was saying, the language, the logic, and the sensitivity. So Thanksgiving, for those who don't know, for Muslims, that's a part of our language each and every day. We are always giving thanks to Allah each and every day that He blesses us with another day here on earth, you see. And there's a logic to that. The logic is that we don't have control over life and death. So we thank Allah for giving us life each and every day. That's a lot. And because we are God-conscious people, there is a conscious sensitivity that we have for that. So we're thanking Allah each and every day, and not only us, but right-minded people, as Imam Muhammad have said, right-minded people are thanking God each and every day. I thank those who have constructed the Gregorian calendar and have a day set aside, you know, for those people that may be unconscious, but they become conscious at least one day a year that they should come together with their family, friends, and community and actually celebrate Thanksgiving. So I just wanted to say that because, yes, it doesn't have any type of pagan origin or anything of that nature. So, yes, we should be encouraged to do that with family and friends on that day. Thank you so much.
Enjoy it immensely.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. So we're going to conclude tonight. I think we had a good audience participation and also I really was inspired with the comments and the observations that were made, and I hope to, like I said, increase this venue so we can have more people get other thoughts and really feel a sense that people are hearing what we're saying, and they know that we're serious and sincere, and they know that we have one agenda, and that is for people to hear what we have to say and then make a decision. It's just really that simple. A lot of things are happening that aren't even newsworthy, and we need to just make sure what we're saying is newsworthy. And it has no, like I said, like the brother was saying, brother Mark was saying, there's no intention on us to brainwash or control anybody's thinking. We offer people intelligence, we offer that they bring their intelligence, and the rest of it is up to the Creator. So thank you again. We appreciate it. We want to get our holiday off started as soon as possible and get in the spirit of being with family and friends. And there's nothing like food with family and friends in a holiday environment where you can relax, enjoy each other, and not have to worry about going to work or whatever, you're there. And, you know, that's another thing that we're missing out on a lot. You know, they talk about my ABC conversations and whatnot, but good food and good conversation where you're not talking about other people. You're not complaining about life and throwing curveballs. You're just happy to do and be alive and with people who you really want to do it with for as long as you want to do it. And you bring yourself with that type of energy and with that type of attitude and a little bit of food, and a good time is guaranteed. A good time is guaranteed, because I was hearing this and I didn't really aware of it, but you can see it. That's what life is. It's an opportunity to be happy. You know, Mr. Rogers, he had it right. Anyway, he just didn't have the initial formula. We just offered the language, logic, sensitivity, lifelong letters or lifelong words to give us that bright day, all day and every day, as we turn ourselves over to our Lord and Creator, and He provides us with what we need to have that happy day. Sun could not be shining, rain, storm, sleet, or snow. Now you know where to go. And hopefully you'll go there and get the results that's waiting on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. See you next week, inshallah.